is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. You can see us in 3D. Not 3D, but in 4K at least, over on the Samsung TV Plus. Femi Abebefe hanging out.
Do you even know
here.
What that means? Do you even know what that
crystal
means?
Crystal clear is what it means.
3K.
Crystal
yeah,
clear.
Okay, good. Welcome. Welcome.
Michael Femi, Lombardi out of the great state of New Jersey.
Saturday morning. When you start talking about things, you have no idea what you're talking about. You just read, you're like Ron Burgundy. You're just reading prompter.
First of all, I don't have a prompter here in the studio. Just let's make that clear. And 4K, we all know what 4K is. It just means it's in crystal clear definition. You know,
it looks really good. I know that.
Exactly.
I just have no idea how it happens. I mean, no. I can't make it happen.
Yeah, we know what it is, but we don't know how to make it happen. I think there's a difference there. But welcome to our humble abode, though, here on the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on this college football Saturday. We do have a jam-packed show for you guys. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Joining us in 15 minutes, Tim Murray, host of VSiN Tonight, VSiN Primetime, and also the host of the College Football Betting Podcast here. Get it wherever you get your podcast. He'll join us in 15 minutes to give us his plays. He has a play in Austin with Kansas and Texas. We'll get into that with Tim coming up in the next segment. Then Stormy Bond and Tony VSiN, host of the Lombardi Line. You see her Sunday through Thursday. Also ESPN sideline reporter Stormy will be in Memphis there with the Delta Blues against Boise State and Memphis. That game later on this afternoon on ESPN2. But we'll get Stormy's thoughts on that and also her college football card coming up here at 7:45 West Coast time, 10:45 Eastern. Then in the second hour at 11:15 Eastern, Chuck Pagano, former NFL head coach, was a coach the Indianapolis Colts. Your guy, Michael Lombardi. Chuck Pagano will be joining us here as we'll talk some NFL. You're excited for that one, huh?
Yeah, I love Chuck. I mean, Chuck and I go back to our days at the Raiders, and every time I'm on McAfee on Thursday, he's sitting there in the audience. He's a Boise guy, too. So, you know, we're talking about Boise State the other day. He lives in Boise now, but it's always good that we can reminisce about the Al Davis days and the Raiders days and as we both handle the media. So it's fun. It'll be good to have him.
And then, as usual, we will wrap up the show with our buddy Matt Eumanns, who is the host of VSiN Tonight and also the co-host of the College Football Betting Podcast. He'll join us at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific. We'll get Eumanns' NFL and college football card. So,
and I really want to urge people, like, I know we're going to start October tomorrow. You know, this betting guide that we put out, this subscription-based stuff that we do, you know, is incredible. And you get all the picks from all these really good experts. And I what I find when I go through it on Saturday morning is a lot of them are hitting games that you would have no idea that they're hitting. And they don't just pick over, they just don't pick spreads. They go this over under, and there's some really talented people in the contest. I think Matt's done a great job. And for a year long, a subscription to VSiN, you end up getting this information, which you can't pay. I mean, you're paying for all this tout services and people are out there slinging stuff around. Whatever happened to Vegas Dave, by the way? I used to kill him on this show.
Oh, no.
Now I can't. He's not even around anymore. But
he's on the
lam. They're slinging picks around like they're experts. And whereas, you know, what you want is the wisdom of the crowd. You want to be able to get a lot of different opinions on games. And I think when you have this, it certainly helps you. And if you put, you know, the Lombardi in there, I think, isn't that we have the code? I don't want to read the advertisement, but that helps us in terms of winning the award.
Well, 100%. And you can, when you use promo code Lombardi, you save 40% off. 40, no longer 10%, 40% off.
There
promo
you go.
Code Lombardi.
I'm giving you 40% off. Now, who, you know, now how does it get better than that?
It doesn't.
I mean, really, seriously.
It doesn't.
Hey, before we get started, I do want to say something. Today is my man Matthew, the assistant receiver coach at the Raiders, 33rd birthday. I want to wish him a happy birthday. Yeah. Nice. And so tomorrow we call him Coach of the Year. My son Mick, he turns 35 tomorrow. So
what?
We go back to back. It was the greatest thing ever. I don't know how Millie and I worked it out, but it was. One Chuck E. Cheese party solved everything.
That's amazing. So my brother and I, we're about 17 days apart in the month of July, and it was definitely one Chuck E. Cheese party in the month of July that would solve everything. But
we got them back to back, though.
That's crazy.
There was no debate. There's no debate. Yeah, boom, boom.
That's crazy.
So happy birthday to Matthew. I'm proud of him. He's done a great deal, and he's going to have a great future. So I'm really proud of him. I'm going to wish him a happy birthday.
No, happy birthday to Matthew, and then happy early birthday to our buddy Mick, which is coming up tomorrow.
To the Coach of the Year. Yeah, we call him Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year.
Because Yeah, well, he bosses everybody around, so we call him Coach of the Year. Well, you know,
hopefully it's the cover of the year tomorrow since I'm on the Raiders. We'll get into that tomorrow, though. Hopefully it can be a nice birthday for Matthew and Mick, and then it'll be a nice money celebration for me tomorrow afternoon at some point. But before we get into our college football slate, we did want to hit on the big news in the NFL with quarterback uncertainty, the biggest one being Deshaun Watson for the Cleveland Browns. The news broke yesterday that Watson had practiced during the media portion, threw a couple passes, and then went back to the locker room. Then we saw the rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson taking over the reps there. So the market, of course, has reacted to that information. Cleveland was once a 3-point favorite in this game, now down to 2 consensus-wise, where I'm sitting at circa 2.5, but the total has also ticked down all the way down to 39, some places 38.5. Mm-hmm. But we'll go into this a little bit deeper later on in the show, but kind of your early thoughts here with the potential of Watson missing this game, and maybe it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson making his NFL debut.
Well, look, this is always going to be a tight game no matter if Watson plays, but they need really good quarterbacking play for them to win. Their defense has been outstanding. So usually when I look at the board, you know, the quarterbacks, when they put TBD in my board, which covers most of the offshore and onshore betting sites all over, give a kind of a sample size of everything that's going on. When they have TBD in the quarterback, they don't know. And they're pretty quick to put the starter in there. So I think there's something definitely going on here. And unfortunately, you know, the Browns may have to go to Dorian Thompson. The Raiders, you know, are they going with Brian Hoyer? You know, and New Orleans is Jameis Winston, unless they think Carr can play with the shoulder injury. You know, Garoppolo hasn't been released from concussion protocol, so you kind of have a sense that it's either going to be Hoyer or O'Connell at the Raiders, whereas Carr could play because of the shoulder. And then we don't really know about Watson. But you got to suspect that in this kind of game, he's going to try to give it a go. But Kenny.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing there. And even if he does play, clearly he's compromised because it's a right shoulder injury for Deshaun Watson, of course, being a right-handed quarterback here. On the Raiders side of this thing, I know with Jimmy Garoppolo now in the concussion protocol, is there anything that they can do today? Can they do a workout to see if he can clear that protocol today? Or is it just sort of we're headed towards either Aiden O'Connell or Brian Hoyer being QB1 for the Raiders on Sunday?
Well, I think to me what we've seen from the concussion protocol this year with the 5-step program is it's very challenging for any player to get through it in this and meet the 5 steps and get through. This seems like, and I think it's probably a good thing, the NFL is saying you get a concussion, you're going to miss a game. I'm not going to argue with them because, again, like Garoppolo hasn't been on the practice field. So the Raiders have been able to say, okay, O'Connell and Hoyer, whomever they decide to play to start, gets a lot of the reps. And that prepares you. Whereas the uncertainty, the maybe, could he play? Maybe he can't. You know, do you want to put Garoppolo out there without any reps at all? I think that's a challenge. And so where you are with Cleveland, which makes the Cleveland thing so difficult, is because you've taken all the reps Wednesday and Thursday, and then all of a sudden on Friday, now you've got to alter your plan. That's when it kind of gets a little bit difficult.
If Garoppolo can't go, my last question on this, if Garoppolo can't go, who gives the Raiders the best chance to win, O'Connell or Hoyer?
Well, based on the preseason, you would have to say O'Connell, you know. But then again, you're getting into a situation where – you know, what are they going to do when you're playing a rookie quarterback? But based on the preseason, O'Connell looked really good in the preseason. Mm-hmm. He looked better than any quarterback, the top pick in the draft, and Dorian Thompson, too. Dorian Robinson Thompson looked great. Those two guys, if they end up starting this weekend, they had the best preseason of any quarterbacks in the football in the league. Rookie quarterbacks, I'm talking about.
Yeah, we were excited about both of those guys in the month of August. A big O'Connell fan from what we saw in those games. And then DTR, I mean, how could you not love what he was doing for the Cleveland Browns? All right, we'll break the NFL stuff down a little bit later on, but let's at least begin our college football conversation. We'll continue it with Tim Murray coming up in the next segment. But we have to start with the big noon kickoff game. That's USC and the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, going to Boulder to face Colorado. The Buffaloes right now a 22-point underdog with a total of 73. Early kickoff out there in Boulder, 10 a.m. local time will be the kickoff on this one. Kind of your early thoughts here, Trojans Buffs coming up in less than 2 hours.
Well, I think the issue, like all issues for teams that are rebuilding their program, and let's be honest, they are rebuilding in Colorado, and Deion has done a tremendous job of rebuilding. But where you fall short in a rebuilding project, especially in college football, because as much as you want to use the transfer portal, it's hard to find offensive and defensive linemen in the portal that are really good and you can play. And I think we saw an example of that last week in Eugene when Colorado went there, and that front for Oregon just dominated the game, and there was really no answer for it. So, and USC's front may not have as much depth as the Oregon front. Oregon was like a hockey line. They just kept rotating guys in and out. Very talented players. This USC line isn't as deep as that other line, as Oregon's line, but they are perhaps more talented individually. This will be a real challenge. And what Sean Lewis, the offensive coordinator of Colorado, must do is try to stay, keep this game attached, and also try to help his quarterback out, because he was getting hit way too early and it was becoming a problem. And I think that's going to be the issue. Now, one thing we do know about Arizona, about USC, is defensively, there can be some plays. But what happens is their offense separates it. You know, their offense forces you to change who you are by getting a lead. It's a little bit like what Miami's doing in pro football right now. So you got to stay attached. And as much as you want to play fast, you got to slow it down a little bit. I love these coaches that say, well, we play fast. Yeah, okay, you play fast, but then you're giving them the ball back fast too, right? You know, and all of a sudden now you're down 14-0 at the end of the with 7 minutes to go in this first quarter. How's that for playing fast? You have to play the game based on what gives you the best chance to win.
Yeah, the tempo sounds great in theory until you're 3 and out in 45 seconds of game
time.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's like when I was young coach, started out in the league, everybody wanted to run BYU's offense. The problem was BYU threw the ball and caught the ball way better than you did. And so you can copy their offense, but you can't copy their production.
All right, we're just getting warmed up with our college football analysis. Joining us next, Tim Murray, host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, will break down the card here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 40% off of our football season special when you use promo code Lombardi. Get access to everything we do this football season, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember to use promo code Lombardi to save 40% when you sign up on a football season special today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And if you don't sign up today, tomorrow is the last day. So 40% off for the rest of the football season. Once again, tomorrow, October 1st on Sunday, will be the last day. So promo code Lombardi. Make sure you get that done before the end of the show. This is the Lombardi Line. Hang out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, breaking down this college football Saturday. And to help us do such things, we bring in our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Also host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Tim, thanks for waking up with us this morning. And let's go to the primetime game here. Notre Dame against Duke. Fighting Irish looking to bounce back after the heartbreaking loss against Ohio State. In the market right now, the Fighting Irish, 5.5-point favorites, a total in the low 50s. How do you see this one playing out later on this evening in Durham?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Notre Dame and how are they going to respond, right, guys? I mean, last year, the heartbreaking loss to Ohio State, not nearly as heartbreaking, and they lose the following week to Marshall. And I'm sure, and I know, Notre Dame has discussed that this week. They've talked about it to the media. But you could, one thing talking about it, it's the next thing responding. You know, the thing that I took away from the Notre Dame-Ohio State game, well, a lot of them, counting to 11 is important. other than that, the Notre Dame offensive line looked as sharp as it's looked all year long, guys. And I was really impressed by the corners of Benjamin Morrison and Cam Hart for Notre Dame. Why do I bring up those two things? Because I think this game is an underplay. So spread, I don't really want to get involved with. I do think Notre Dame should win. But as you mentioned, Femi, this is a tricky spot, right? You're going on the road. College game day is there. Environment should be pretty good. But let's think back to Duke's win over Clemson. Pretty low scoring, and Clemson just continuously shot themselves in the foot. failed a couple of fourth downs, turned the ball over in the red zone. You know, Duke, what they are, in addition to having a really talented quarterback in Riley Leonard, guys, they're incredibly well coached. They don't make mistakes. They're plus 21 in turnover margin since Mike Elko has taken over as the head coach, you know, in 2022. So I think this is a spot where both offenses struggle a little bit. And Notre Dame, who's going to be missing their top wide receiver, Jaden Thomas, who did not practice all week, and Marcus Freeman said was doubtful on Thursday. So that would be coach speak for he's not going to play. Deion Colsey, a depth wide receiver, not going to play. But Notre Dame has a stable of running backs and a really good offensive line. Clemson was able to rush the ball for over 200 yards against Clemson. So I think Duke's offense struggles a little bit against Notre Dame's pretty stout defense. I think Notre Dame's just going to do what they need to do, run the ball, might take a little longer to get established. So I think this is a, you know, 27-21 type of game and might take a while to get these teams going. So I'm going to go under Notre Dame and Duke, which is available at 53.5 at a number of shops.
Well, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense, Tim, because you're talking about a team that's nationally ranked fourth in the nation in terms defensively. You know, and they're fourth in yards per play allowed, the Duke Blue Devils. I mean, that's really somewhat remarkable. Now, you know, I think they're going to have to – I was disappointed in Notre Dame's game planning of attacking using, you know, Sam Hartman to throw the ball down the field. And I know you're a Notre Dame fan and an enthusiast, and you were at the game. Did you think their offense was a little conservative with a really good quarterback who's played against Duke before?
Yeah, it's a fair question. And you look at the first, you know, the four games prior to that, much lesser competition of Navy, you know, NC State, Central Michigan, and Tennessee State. And they were stretching it vertically. But that was the biggest question coming into this year, Michael, was can Notre Dame, do they have the vertical threats? And, you know, we're going to have a really young, or they're going to have a really young wide receiver core out there that has started to emerge and I think has some promise there. I do think you'll see maybe Notre Dame stretch it vertically a little bit more, but I do think one thing that I did pull away from the pass game, and I'm not going to disagree with you, because you would have liked to see them utilize the guy that, you know, let's be honest, they probably gave a lot of NIL money to get him to come to South Bend. The emergence of Mitchell Evans, who was dealing with an injury, he played last week and he really stepped up. And looks like, I'm not going to compare him to, you know, Michael Mayer or Kyle Rudolph or whoever you want to say in the lineage of tight ends at Notre Dame, but he was pretty solid. So I could imagine guys seeing a lot of 12 personnel this week, utilizing the running backs more. One guy I will keep in mind here who is a burner and can use his speed, and, you know, maybe they just thought wasn't going to get that wiggle, that open, you know, space against Ohio State, is Chris Tyree, the converted running back who has gone to slot wide receiver. He's made some big plays so far this year. I could see him, you know, making an explosive play because his speed is pretty good. And I think against Duke in the slot, you might be able to get some advantageous situations there.
Big game for the Fighting Irish here. Already a loss. If you want to keep the college football playoff hopes alive, it's kind of must win throughout the rest of the season. We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. You mentioned tricky spots. Let's go down to Austin, where the Texas Longhorns are hosting the Kansas Jayhawks 1 week before, of course, Red River next week when they take on Oklahoma down at the Cotton Bowl. Texas, a 16-point favorite, total 61 here. Do you think that this is just the classic pre-Red River look-ahead spot here for the Longhorns? Can the Jayhawks keep this thing close?
It's funny. This is one of those games where initially, Femi, you think, oh my gosh, total look-ahead spot, got to take the points with Kansas. And I did. I took a little 17 earlier this week. The more the week goes on, the more a little hesitant I get. Because, you know, Steve Sarkisian, head coach of Texas, could put in the tape from 2 years ago of this Kansas team winning in Austin 57-56. Now, look, last year, Texas absolutely obliterated this Kansas team 55-14, and Lance Leipold can certainly do the same. Kansas's offense is really, really impressive. Do they have the caliber of athlete to keep it rolling? That certainly is the question. I'll be honest, guys, the more look-ahead-y spot is that I make up things on the fly when it comes to words, is Iowa State, I would say. You know, catching 20 against Oklahoma, you know, this spot just kind of screams Matt Campbell mucking it up, making it ugly, you know, making Oklahoma try to work for everything. You know, we saw Oklahoma go up to Cincinnati last week. They got it done, 1 by 2 touchdowns. I think that, in my opinion, of the two games with the Red River rivalry coming up next week, guys, I think the Iowa State-Oklahoma game, to me, seems a little trickier with the Cyclones catching 20 and Matt Campbell kind of, over his career, thriving in this big dog type of role.
You know, Nick Saban was talking about how good Mississippi State is as he gets ready to play them. And we saw South Carolina have an impressive win against them last week. And now they go to Tennessee. Tennessee coming off a tough, you know, their loss. They're 3-1. But you like South Carolina to keep this close with Spencer Rattler and Shane Beamer. I think Beamer's done a really good job at South Carolina. I mean, I think this team is way more competitive than they've been. So, but you like the 12.5 here, huh, Tim?
Yeah, I took the 12.5, Michael, with South Carolina. We're seeing the market, you know, it dipped down to 11.5. It's starting to reemerge to 12.5. You know, those are kind of dead-ish numbers. You know, but look, you know, I mentioned the revenge factor, you know, with Texas and Kansas. Certainly Tennessee, this is a revenge spot, right? South Carolina put up a 63 spot on them last year as a, you know, 3-touchdown underdog and ruined Tennessee's chances to make it to the college football playoff. So you could certainly see an inspired effort from Tennessee, who should be getting, you know, their offensive line a little bit healthier. But yeah, to your point, Michael, Shane Beamer in these roles as kind of a big dog. We saw it in back-to-back weeks last year against Tennessee, followed it up with that win over Clemson. You know, he's kind of stepped up at times in these role as a dog. Look, last week, Mississippi State, you know, finally started to pass the ball quite well with Will Rogers throwing for over 400 yards, but South Carolina was able to find a way to get that victory. Certainly Tennessee's going to want to throw the ball well, and if they have the same success Mississippi State did last week, we could be in some trouble here. But no, I'm going to take the points with South Carolina. I think they can keep this thing relatively close against the Vols and Rocky Top.
Tim, real quick, let's stay in the SEC. We got about 30 seconds left. What do you like in Florida, Kentucky?
I'm going to go with Big Blue Nation here. I love Mark Stoops as a coach, love him as a dog. Wish this game was a little bit later in the night so the folks there could maybe enjoy their bourbon a little bit more. But I'm going to take Kentucky, guys. I think they've been, in my opinion, a bit disappointing so far with Devin Leary taking over as the quarterback, getting him in the portal from NC State. He's been dealing with some injuries, but I think this is a spot where you finally see what we were expecting with the return of Liam Cohen from the Rams back to Kentucky as their offensive coordinator. I'm going to take Big Blue Nation here in a win over Florida early today.
Right. He is Tim Murray. Job, check him Tim. Out on VSiN Primetime 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim, good luck with the bets today, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
Awesome stuff there from Tim Murray. We will break down the NFL on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking to be a better bettor? Of course you are, and tens of thousands of people have already turned to Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, and gives you an analytical edge backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. Use that data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool, Juice Reel. That's Juice, like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. Download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device today and become a better bettor. Welcome back. It's a good morning here on the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. We had Tim Murray on in the last segment. We thank him for coming on. Tim, like in a lot of plays here in college football, the under in Notre Dame and Duke. That's coming up later on this evening, College Game Day out there in Durham. I actually saw a funny sign, Michael, while we were doing the break on College Game Day, and it said, Rudy got waitlisted at Duke. Was
so, how about Duke football coming back? I mean, yeah, give Elko credit. I mean, like, this is incredible, you know? Great hire. They, you know, they hired another guy. I mean, Cutcliffe. I got David Culley from the Houston Texans on the good brain. But Cutcliffe was great as, you know, developed quarterbacks. And, you know, he's got this defense playing at a high level at Duke, which you would have never thought. So hats off to them. I mean, look, they ruined Clemson's season because Clemson had a chance to win last week against Florida State. Now they got two losses, and, you know, Clemson's looking at the Peach Bowl at best.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they still have a chance to win the ACC, but definitely not to go to the playoff. Like, those dreams are done.
No.
Yeah, those dreams are over. No, so they'll have to be playing spoiler in the ACC, but they're already a game down from Florida State after last week. Speaking of a great line, how about Sean McDonough's line last Saturday when he said, when I think it was Greg McElroy said that, it's like, oh, this was supposed to be a Hollywood ending. And then McDonough said, well, the writers are on strike.
Yeah. I thought they went back though. I think the writers strike's back.
They did
go back.
Yeah. I think it was this week. They finally came to an agreement. Yeah.
They finally came back. Yeah. That's a good thing.
So we'll get our content.
Poor kid. I mean, I felt so bad for that kid. I mean, they got him off the, you know, he was kind of not even in the program, and he's got to go out there and kick the biggest kick. How are you Clemson and don't have a kicker? I don't understand that.
I don't understand anything that's been going on at Clemson the last 3 years. That's a whole nother documentary for another day here. But in the NFL world, we do have some injury stuff that we can continue to discuss here. I mean, obviously we talked about Watson and Garoppolo earlier, but how about the Baltimore Ravens and their injury ledger that came out earlier on Friday? I mean, we're talking about Marlon Humphrey, who started to practice, but he is not going to play in this game. It appears that they're going to get their center Tyler Linderbaum back, but their left tackle Ronnie Stanley has been listed as doubtful. Also, both wide receivers Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham Jr. will be missing this game as well. So Baltimore, I mean, despite Cleveland's injury in Deshaun Watson, Baltimore also coming into this game pretty banged up as well.
Well, you know, we got Edwards coming off of a concussion protocol, but he's playing. Justin Hill's got a foot injury, so their running back situation isn't great either. And then Kyle Hamilton with a back injury, he's listed as questionable. They're beat up in this game. They really are. And they've been dealing with injuries. I mean, that win they were able to get in Cincinnati, they were dealing with a bunch of injuries, backup offensive linemen. You know, and if last week it killed them that Stanley didn't play because Indianapolis just took advantage of it and put too much pressure on it, something that surprisingly the Bengals couldn't do. So I think this, and now with Cleveland's injury situation, you've got to worry about that too, because with Watson, you just don't know. I mean, that's the only real injury Cleveland has. I think they get Newsom back this week, their starting corner. Ward's in there. So I think that certainly all helped. But the Watson news is not good, especially as late in the week as it was. And that's why I think we're seeing a reflection in the line.
Well, you brought up pass rush there. How about for the Baltimore Ravens? Both David Ajabo and Adafe Owe, those guys are out. So, like, those are your two edge rushers there. This is all your Ravens defense that struggles.
I mean, they brought Clowney back, and Clowney actually gave him a little bit of juice, you know. But against this Browns front, you know, I think Jones, the third-round pick from Ohio State, played really well at right tackle, filling in for Conklin, who was out for the season.
Big kid.
And, you know, Wirfs at left tackle is a really good player. So the strength of the Browns is their offensive line, let's face it. And one of the things I think when you watch Baltimore play on defense is the sum of their parts are better than their actual individual talent. But now they start losing even more and more players. It becomes very challenging. And you can attack this secondary, and you're going to have time to throw the football. You're going to have time to throw the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating game. I have a bet on this game. We will talk about that on Sunday morning when we do this Lombardi line tomorrow morning. But I can't wait to watch this one. One of the better games in the early window. But the best game in the early window is in Western New York, with the Miami Dolphins visiting the Buffalo Bills. And we did see yesterday that the Buffalo Bills have ruled out their all-pro safety Jordan Poyer, which makes way for the return of one Damar Hamlin, who has been inactive the last few weeks. But with Poyer now expected to be inactive, Damar Hamlin, the expectation is that he will be active for this game. And me, I love to bet on awards and to kind of look at the awards markets because I think they're fascinating. In the comeback player of the year market, Michael, yesterday before this news broke, Damar Hamlin over at DraftKings was about minus 105. And then after the news that Poyer will be out in this game, has shot up to minus 275 as a prohibitive odds-on favorite to win comeback player of the year. What are your thoughts here on this market and just the overall of Damar Hamlin coming back and making his first NFL appearance in 2023 after what happened a year ago?
Well, I mean, you know, if Hollywood's writers are back, perhaps they write that Hamlin has an interception to seal the game, to win the game for the Bills. You know, wouldn't that be just perfectly, you know, perfectly
storybook
Hollywoodish? you know, if you will. Look, I think they need Hamlin. I mean, one of the weaknesses of this Bills team, I think, and when you watch him on tape, now Washington couldn't take advantage of him because Washington couldn't block him. Leonard Floyd has been a really good addition for the defensive front. He's given them some pressure off the edge, and when they get Von Miller back, that certainly can help them. But I think one of the things that hurt them is their back end. And if you can block them up front, or if you can do what Miami's been doing, is create a horizontal spread scheme, you can attack this secondary. I mean, they cannot cover one-on-one. They had Benford in a one-on-one situation. Washington did, again, with Curtis Samuels, and it was an easy pitch and catch for Sam Howell. So I'm curious to see how well Buffalo's defense plays. They're going to have to win up front, but I thought New England's front could help win, and they couldn't really generate the kind of pressure to get in front of Tua that they needed to do. So I think this is a tough game. I think the more I analyze this game, look, I think Josh Allen's playing great. Don't get me wrong. And I think he's playing within the system. I just think Buffalo's defense, which has played well the last couple weeks against bad offenses, I think they're going to have a harder time.
Yeah, and we saw the Commanders being able to move the ball. They just turned it over in the red zone. And then once they got behind, yeah, and the Raiders did the same thing as well.
Yeah, that's why I think sometimes when you look at these numbers, like I'll tell you a team who I think's defense has not played really very well, they've made plays, is your Cowboys. Mm. Like when you watch that tape, Arizona blocked them and moved the ball on them. And, you know, we have them in that Ravens 2000 category. Look, Parsons is incredible. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But when you watch the Cardinal tape, the Jets turned the ball over, you know, and the Giants really lost the game in the kicking game. I'm not sure that the Cowboys defense is that elite, elite, elite. Like, I think the Browns defense is elite. You know, I think the Cowboys defense is good, and I think the Bills defense is good. But we're talking about elite class. We're talking about Cleveland. We're talking about Kansas City. Those teams are elite class. They prove it by holding good offenses down.
Yeah, we saw Kansas City, I mean, really impressive. The opening night, I mean, everyone was raving about the Detroit Lions offense, and Kansas City held them to 14 points. And if not for that pick six off of Kadarius Toney's hands, maybe it's the Kansas City Chiefs that win that game on opening night. But speaking of those Detroit Lions, Michael, we saw them improve to 3-1 this past Thursday, beating the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sure you saw this as well from yesterday's news, the NFL updating its gambling policy. So a lot of guys who were suspended, of course, notably being Jamison Williams, have now been reinstated starting on Monday. So Jamison Williams will be returning to the Detroit Lions 2 weeks earlier than they previously thought. The Lions right now, after their win on Thursday, a -205 favorite to win the NFC North. With Williams now back in the fold, giving them that explosive threat down the field, is this Detroit offense really going to become unlocked and be better than what we've seen through the first month?
Well, I think it gives them a spacer. Somebody who can make some plays, gives them more vertical speed. Remember, this is a team that doesn't have when he comes back, they've invested very little in their receiving core. Very little. I mean, the highest draft pick on their receiving core until he comes back is a fourth rounder in St. Brown. I mean, this is a team that relies on the middle of the field, running the football. And I think what they did last week against Green Bay, or Thursday night against Green Bay, was how they have to play, right? They have to play a game where they're they want to play a game where they can run the football. It helps their quarterback. And they controlled the ball. They had 73 plays in the game, you know, and they played way less defense. And so when you do that, you control the game, the physicality of the game. They get 211 yards rushing. They took advantage of this Packer defense that has had the whole time that Mike Barry's been there, they've struggled to play run defense. And the Lions dominated that game from start to finish. It wasn't close.
Yeah, it really wasn't close. Really an impressive performance. We had the Let's Go Lions chant at Lambeau Field. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? On the other side, our very own Stormy Bonantoni joins us here to break down the college football and NFL card here on a Saturday on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so sign up and download the app now with code VSIN. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out on the DraftKings Network here on a college football Saturday. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now, you see her Sunday through Thursday here on the Lombardi Line. You'll also see her on the sideline of Boise State at Memphis later on this afternoon. It's the one and only Stormy Bonantoni. Before we get into your college football thoughts, your NFL thoughts, it sounds like you might have literally been walking in Memphis last night with the travel issues.
Good segue there.
You like that one, Michael? How are things going here, Stormy?
Femi, you're so smooth. Yeah, Michael was so kind to ask me in the break where I got good barbecue last night, and needless to say, the plan did not go to plan. My initial flight from Vegas got delayed, and I had to get a connection to Memphis. And the connection was already only about 40 minutes, and getting delayed, it was, like, unbelievable. So I for sure thought I was going to just miss this flight altogether. Oh. We land in Minneapolis, and I'm at, like, the farthest possible gate to where I need to go, hoofing it, sprinting through this dang airport to get to my flight. I end up making it with about a minute to spare. The lady said that she was just about to close the door. So I make it, and I'm coughing, I'm choking. I dropped my AirPods on the way. I had to get new ones at the airport. It was a whole thing. So then we get on the plane, and I'm like, okay, I made it. We did it. And we get delayed on the tarmac. So I'm hustling to get there, and we get delayed for like another hour just sitting there before we can go anywhere. And then by the time I got to Memphis officially, we did a late coaches meeting, with Boise State coaches. So I got no food. I got Uber Eats delivered to the hotel, and it was a mess. But everybody thinks this job is a life of luxury, Michael. You know, you travel all the time. No. It's not like that.
No, I tell you what, you better bring your walking shoes. Two airports you're going to walk, Charlotte and Minneapolis. It's going to be a walk. Like Phoenix, too.
Michael, and that's what made it worse. I had Nike slides on, so I'm sprinting through the airport in slides.
It's a tough, you got to know your airports. You got to know what you're liable to walk to. It's hard. I mean, Atlanta, you have to go down and you can change and get to a different gate. Dallas, you have the tram, but... Man, the Minneapolis, it's a long walk. There's a lot of walking going on. I feel for you. Well, make sure you go to Rendezvous or Corky's today, Stormy. You got to at least get some experience out of Memphis.
Yep, all my friends were at Rendezvous last night without me. Hopefully tonight after the game.
These are body blows, man. Jeez. Well, we'll get to your game here in just a bit. Let's talk about USC Colorado. That's coming up in less than 90 minutes. The Buffaloes are 22-point dogs at home, total sitting at 73. What are your thoughts here on the big noon kickoff game of the week here?
Yeah, breakfast in Boulder. obviously, Oregon took a major shellacking. I mean, they got shellacked by Oregon last week, Colorado did, and it was ugly to watch. It was hard to watch. I think that they match up a little bit better with USC. So... I don't know. I went back and forth on the spread, and then I just eventually said, no, I could talk myself into either way so easily that I'd rather pay more attention to the total and the team total as well. USC's team total, 47.5. I feel like that's something they should get over pretty easily. I am really struggling to find a way for Colorado to get stops against this offense. I was talking to Michael earlier this week. USC is a team that we've seen put up 500 plus yards of offense in every game they have played so far. Colorado has allowed 500 plus yards of offense to three of the four teams that they've played. The only one they didn't was Nebraska, and we know how terrible they are on offense. It's going to be a long day, especially without Travis Hunter, especially without now Pete Thamel reporting Shiloh Sanders is going to be doubtful, likely not to go in that secondary as well. And everything feels like it's coming up that USC's offense is going to click. I did bet the over 72.5 for the game as well, because I think, like I said, this is a little bit more of a favorable matchup for Colorado than Oregon was, and that USC's defense isn't going to be able to produce the same types of stops that Oregon did. So I feel like there's going to be points, most of them coming from USC, but Colorado will get some of theirs too.
Stormy, you were down at Gainesville a couple of weeks ago, and you know there were, heat was getting turned up on poor Billy Napier, but the big win against Tennessee kind of backed it off. Now he goes into Lexington against Kentucky. Who do you like in this game? I saw this is one you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and I maybe to my detriment am trusting Billy Napier again, and I like taking the points in this spot with Florida on the road. I know that a lot of people are going to point to the coaching matchups and take Stoops over Napier. Look at the fact that under Napier, Florida's 1-5 away from Gainesville, but I feel like the Gators have figured some stuff out. This line was 3 and it's been bet down for a reason. And did you know that the quarterback with the best completion percentage of all transfer portal quarterbacks is playing in this game? And his name's Graham Mertz, not Devin Leary. Wow. 77.8% completions. Yeah, and like I know he's not exactly airing it out this season, but that's not what this offense needs or is asking him to do. And he's worked it pretty masterfully. I think that there will be a little bit of a moment of truth for the Florida run game because Kentucky's run defense is tops in the SEC right now. But it's also like, who have they played? It's been against Ball State. It's been against Eastern Kentucky, Akron, Vandy. And meanwhile, Devin Leary, sub 60% completion, 5 interceptions against those opponents. So I feel like Florida has more advantages than people think in this matchup, and I like them to get the win outright on the road.
There we go. We're speaking with Stormy Biantoni, host of the Lombardi Line here Sunday through Thursday. Also, ESPN sideline reporter. Check her out. Boise State at Memphis, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific time on ESPN2. Well, Stormy, you also have a college football play on a team that's on bye right now. And you saw them last week, Temple at Miami, the Hurricanes go ahead and get that victory in Philadelphia. You came away impressed, it seems, with the Hurricanes because you want to go ahead and back them in the futures market.
Yeah, are you sensing a trend? Teams I cover, I'm a little bit more invested in moving forward. But you see the plus 750 future in the ACC. Florida State, obviously, a rightful favorite there, but I'm not sure it's enough to warrant a minus 160 price. And so there's a number of prove it games ahead on the schedule for Miami at UNC coming up in a couple weeks. They've got Clemson, both before that game at Florida State. And I think that they've got the talent to go into that game against the Noles on November 11th unscathed to that point. And when you get to that game, Miami's not going to be a plus 750 underdog in it. So if I do want to go ahead and hedge and change my position, I feel like I'll have the opportunity potentially to do that when that game comes. But I have been very, very impressed with Tyler Van Dyke. He's looking like the guy who was the offensive freshman of the year 2 years ago after the down year last season. According to Pro Football Focus, and I know, Michael, how much you love that, but he is the highest graded quarterback in the country, and that's over Michael Penix Jr. and Caleb Williams and that group of Heisman contenders, despite being on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. The upgraded offensive line is giving him all the time in the world. They're creating just like a Red Sea opening for running backs to run through. I think that Mario Cristobal has done a really good job with the influx of talent he brought in the transfer portal and that they could contend.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, they have been able to match it. I mean, I doubted them against, to be honest, I doubted them against when they were playing Texas A&M. I thought Texas A&M would do it, but they obviously didn't. You also like, let's go over this one. You like the Dolphins tomorrow against the Bills taking the 3. Tell us why.
Yeah, even though there's a lot of things working against me that apparently teams that score 60 plus points are 1-6 straight up and 0-7 ATS their next game, I'm still riding with Miami in this spot. I think that the team speed that they have, and we've talked a lot about that on the show, Michael, the team speed, especially offensively, that Miami has is going to be really tough for Miami, for the Bills defense to go toe-to-toe with. And I know they looked awesome last week against the Commanders, but that was also the Commanders. And Miami's going to be a different animal in this spot. I love the way that schematically Mike McDaniels has changed things up this year for the Dolphins. And I think that they should get – I like them to get a win and be kind of the big contender in the AFC after this game.
This Mrs. 305, Stormy Bonantoni. South Beach Stormy, maybe, so. With the Hurricanes, the Dolphins. We absolutely love it here. We got 30 seconds left. What's your teaser for week 4 in the NFL?
Oh, Eagles, Chiefs. And I know there's a lot of 9 and 9.5s out there right now, but there are 8.5. So if you can bring those bad boys down to under a field goal for the Eagles to beat the Commanders by a field goal plus Chiefs, same thing against the Jets, Love it. I think it's beautiful. And then just one thought on my game tonight. We had a flip of favorites in this one for Memphis, Boise State. Boise actually opened a 3-point favorite. Memphis took a 6-point swing and is a 3-point favorite now. You don't see that every day. And I do think it's going to be a field goal game either way. I think we've got a fun one that's a little bit of an underrated matchup today in Memphis.
All right, total sitting at 58.5. That one, 4 o'clock Eastern. The kickoff, 1 o'clock Pacific time. She is Stormy Bonantoni. Check her out.
Great
Boise
job,
State,
Stormy.
Memphis,
enjoy
and also check her
ribs.
Out here on Lombardi Line.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy
yes,
those
I gotta
ribs,
get
Stormy.
The ribs tonight.
Definitely, that's a must. Stormy, have fun on the call, and we will see her later on this week. All right, hour number two. We're talking the Lombardi look ahead next here on the DraftKings Network.